In the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. The first scripture reading we had this morning was Jesus talking to his disciples, telling them that he was going to be betrayed, and that he was going to be crucified, and then he was going to rise again. And now as we look at this passage that talks about his resurrection, the angels who appear to the women who have come to the tomb to prepare his body mention the same thing. They say, didn't Jesus tell you this? That he was going to rise again. Why seek ye the living among the dead? And we don't come here this morning to seek for the dead. We come here this morning to rejoice in the fact that he lives. That we serve a risen Christ. That he has conquered death and come out of the grave. As we heard the readings and the words that were sung that reflect Scripture, we were able to meditate on the fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth and died on a cross. Now there were really probably thousands and thousands of people that died in the Roman world by crucifixion. But yet this is the one that we focus on, this man, Jesus of Nazareth. We focus on him because his crucifixion, not that it was different in the sense that it was a crucifixion of some different sort, but that it was a crucifixion that has meaning beyond all the others. Because of who it was that was being crucified and who it was that wouldn't stay in the grave. You see, Jesus Christ came to this earth. He was the second person. He is the second person of the triune Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is the Son. And he came to this earth. He was born of the Virgin Mary, and he lived on this earth a perfectly righteous life, unlike you and me. He was not a sinner, but each of us are sinners. What do I mean by sinner? By that, I don't mean that we merely make mistakes or that we're only human. Certainly, we are human and we are limited, and that does make us different than God. God has no limits. But it's not merely that we have limits. It's that we are sinners who have rebelled against God and broken his good commandments. God has given us good commandments. Many of us, I know sometimes years ago in our culture, most people accepted the Ten Commandments as good commandments. But I think even these days we recognize them as good, especially when they're perpetrated against us. Right? As I've often said, if somebody steals your stuff, you think stealing is wrong. If somebody tries to kill you, you think thou shalt not murder is a good commandment. If somebody, you know, bears false witness against you, lies about you, you think don't bear false witness is a good commandment. And so we recognize that when those things are done to us, they're bad. And so likewise, we recognize that, as Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You want good done to you? Well, you should do good to others. And by contrast to that, if you don't want bad things done to you, don't do those bad things to other people. And so we've all broken God's good commandments. Good commandments that say, don't hate, don't steal, don't murder, don't bear false witness, don't covet, don't steal someone else's spouse in adultery. We recognize that those are all good commandments of God, but yet in those commandments, we find that we have broken them. You say, well, I've never murdered anybody. Jesus said, if you hate someone in your heart, you've committed murder in your heart. Say, I've never stolen. Well, really, even something small. Most of us during our lifetime at some point, even as children, took something that didn't belong to us, and we had to be taught a lesson by an adult that said, hey, that's not right. Stealing's wrong. But in our fallen, sinful hearts, we're all sinners. I say this wholeheartedly about myself. I am a sinner. If I had to stand before God today and say, God, am I good enough to go to heaven? I know the answer would be no. Because I've broken God's good commandments. And I have deserved, under God's justice, I deserve the condemnation that comes from breaking God's law. We've all sinned and rebelled against God and broken God's good commandments. But the good news of the gospel is this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the reason I stand here and say I have a hope of eternal life is not because I'm good enough for God to receive me. And the same thing is true about everybody else in this room. None of us is good enough. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He saves us. Every one of us is a sinner, and every one of us has fallen short of the glory of God, and not a single one of us has a righteous standing of our own. But the good news of the gospel is this, that God loved us so much that His Son, the second person of the triune Godhead, the man Jesus of Nazareth, the God-man, came to this earth, and He died on a cross after living a righteous life for us. Now, why did He die on a cross? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. How is it that one who never sinned could die? Well, he wasn't dying because he was a sinner. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Every one of us is a sinner, and we've gone in our own way and we've turned against God. But God in his grace sent his Son to this earth. And when Jesus died on that cross, he bore our sins in his body on that tree. He suffered for my sins and for your sins. And by his stripes we are healed. And when he had finished hanging on that cross, he cried, "It is finished." He completed the work, the atoning work on the cross, that cross work that makes an atonement for our sins. He didn't say, "It's mostly done. You can do the rest." He didn't say, "I did it up till now and you can finish it." He didn't say, "Well, that's good enough." No, when he was finished, he said, "It is finished." And he paid that price of sin, and he hung on that cross and died, and he gave up the ghost. As the scriptures say, he released his spirit. He died. And he really died on that cross. And in fact, the Roman soldiers, who were very experienced at this kind of an execution, wondered that he would have died so soon. Because the thing that killed you on a cross, and I don't mean to get into gory details here, but it wasn't the blood loss from being nailed to the cross. It was the fact that when you hung in that position, you slowly suffocated. And you'd have to push yourself up to take a breath, and after a while you'd get too tired to do that. So it usually took a long time for someone to die on that cross. But yet Jesus died sooner than they expected. And so what did they do? They put a spear in his side to make sure of the fact that he had died. According to the Jewish custom, they couldn't leave executed criminals on a cross overnight, especially when the next day was a Sabbath. Now, this was happening during the Passover and the weekend of unleavened bread, so that whole time was Sabbath days because they were all holidays. And so before they took the body down, they wanted to make sure he had died. So they pierced his side with the spear. So he had these nail prints in his hands and feet from where he was nailed to the cross. And he had a spear wound in his side from where they had checked to see that he was dead. And they took his body down, and the women who had followed him laid him in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, as we heard in the reading this morning. And they put his body there. And on the first day of the week, which was the third day, they came to that tomb. And when they came to that tomb to see about continuing to prepare his body, they would wrap the body in strips of cloth soaked in spices as their embalming practice. When they came there, they found the tomb empty. His body was not there. And in fact, what happened was they looked for him and they were perplexed, but then two angels appeared to them, right? And what do these two angels say? "Why do you seek the living among the dead? You're in the graveyard. You don't find living people here. There's dead people here." Now, what's the implication of that? Jesus isn't dead. Jesus had come out of the grave. He had conquered death. Why? Because he died on the cross for our sins, but he was not a sinner. And he was the eternal God. He is the eternal God. And death could not hold him. And he was the one who had conquered it. As 1 Corinthians 15 says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" There is no sting or victory left in sin because Jesus has taken the stinger out. Because the power of sin was the law, and when we broke that law, the consequences of the law, right? When we have a law, If somebody breaks a law, there's also usually in the law a description of what the consequence of breaking that law is. It says, you know, you can be fined this much, you can be jailed this long, you could be executed, depending on what the law is. All right? And a law without a punishment is a good suggestion. Because if people think they can do it, there'll be no punishment. Right? So God's law has a consequence. The wages of sin is death. That law had been broken, but Jesus never broke that law. And he came out of the grave because death could not hold on to him because he was not a sinner. And the strength of death is that we're sinners. Death came because of sin. And death has power because of sin, but the sinless one conquered death. And the good news of the gospel is this, that those who are in Christ, those who believe in Jesus Christ, will rise as Christ arose. So we meet here on this first day of the week, and at this time of year when we remember the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, and we meet here and we say, Christ the Lord is risen today. And that is worthy of Alleluia. Alleluia comes from the Hebrew word Hallelujah. Hallel means to praise, and in that form of the verb, it's highest praise, it's intensive, and the Yah at the end means the Lord or Yahweh. Praise, the highest praise to Yahweh is what we mean when we say Alleluia. So who is worthy of the highest praise? The one true and living God who sent his only Son to this earth to die on the cross for our sins and to rise again. Now, unfortunately, not all receive that eternal life through Jesus Christ. Not because Jesus can't save. He saves all who come unto him. All who come unto him, he says, he will in no wise cast. But not everybody comes to him. Some choose to cling to their sin and choose rather than turning from sin and repentance. Now by repentance, I don't mean penance. I don't mean turning over a new leaf. I don't mean doing good things to outweigh the bad things I've done. I mean turning away from my former loyalty to self and sin. And I have to turn in faith to Jesus Christ and say the only hope of eternal life I have is in Jesus Christ. He's the only way. And those who come to Christ alone by faith alone receive the grace of God alone and have eternal life. As the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to say this. I don't know everyone here. Maybe there's someone here, and I don't know anybody's heart. I'm not God. Maybe there's someone here who's never come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. I'm not asking, did you ever do some religious ritual? I'm not asking, have you been baptized? I'm not asking, did you pray a prayer after somebody maybe when you were a small child and you didn't understand it? I'm not asking, did you have a religious experience? What I'm asking is there been a time in your life that you came in saving faith to Jesus Christ, that you believed in Jesus for your salvation? Is there a time that you were, sometimes we call that being saved, okay? If that's never happened, we'd love to show you from the Bible how you can know Christ, whom to know is life eternal. You can find me after this service. Most of our church members could take you to somebody who could open the Bible and show you how you can know Christ, whom to know is life eternal. How you can know that the one who's conquered death has conquered death for you too. This doesn't mean we never die, but it means that after our death, or if the Lord tarries, when he comes back, we rise and get new bodies like he has. If there's anybody here who's never come to faith in Christ, we don't want you to leave today without coming to faith in Christ. Please find me or someone else, and we would love to show you from the Bible how you can know Christ and have eternal life. For us as believers, this is a great day of rejoicing. We look at the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ, and we say, Christ is risen, and we rejoice. It's been historically a way that Christians greet each other on this Lord's Day to say, Christ is risen, and we often respond, he is risen indeed. Because he has truly risen from the grave. And we rejoice in that today. Let's go ahead and close this service with a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word and for the privilege that it is to have sung, to have heard, played, and sung, to have heard your word read, and to be saturated with these truths that Christ died and rose again for us. I pray that if there are any with us today who have never come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, that they would even today. I pray for us as believers that this would be a day not only of a good meal and time with family and other things, but that it would be a time to worship and to rejoice in the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.